Okay, good morning everybody at Rafaelich and Zos Chanukah. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Samach Beis. We are holding on the very top of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Today's shiur sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha Alea Shalom, also by Yael and Yosef Gurevich, in appreciation of their children's Rebbeim and Marot, also by Avi and Esti Goldstein and family, Lezecher Nishmas, their beloved son, Zachary Goldstein, my dear Talmud Chaim Tzvi Ben Avram, on his fourth yahrzeit, which is on Wednesday, also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, Lila Nishmas, Moshe's grandfather, David Levi Ben Yitzchak HaKohen, whose yahrzeit was last night, the eighth night of Chanukah. His yahrzeit is today, so the Shem Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to talk about how once they would put the knives away from cutting the Te'enim, then everything becomes Hefker. Then all the Te'enim become Hefker. So the Gemara is going to have three stories that relate to that idea, that items become Hefker once you get to that point in the season. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how learning Torah should be done l'shma, meaning because the third of those stories relates to Rabbi Tarfon getting some benefit from his Torah learning. So the Gemara is going to talk about how when a person learns Torah, it should not be l'shem kavod or anything else, it should be totally l'shem shemayim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when a Talmud Chacham is allowed to inform people of his status and when he's not, meaning even though you're supposed to be l'shma, you're not supposed to go around bragging, but if a person is Talmud Chacham, sometimes he's allowed to let people know who he is. And the Gemara is going to talk about how Talmidei Chachamim and Kohanim both go first, whether it be in a court, if two people show up for a Din Torah, Talmud Chacham and Kohen go first, or Kol Dovar Shebekedusha, that they have Kedima. And then right before the Mishnah, we're going to have on Amud Beis two things that a Talmud Chacham can say in order to exempt himself from having to pay taxes. One more surprising than the other. And then in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about what people mean when they take a neder ad hakotzir. When is that exactly? Or if they say ad hagishamim, when exactly is that they intend to include? What time period do they intend to include in their neder? So all of that is today. So let's begin. Top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph at Tana. So we had mentioned yesterday that when they fold up the knives that they would use to cut the te'enim after they were dried. So that's the end of the Zman HaKayitz. So the Gemara brings a brisa that tells us other things, one other halacha that relates to this Zman. So Tana hukbalu rov hamiksaos, when they fold them up. So mutaros mishum gazal. The other te'enim that still remain in the field and still remain on the trees is not a violation of gezel to take them, because we assume that the bailim are miyayish from them at that point, that it's already the end of the season, they're not going to be picking them and gathering them anymore at that point, and therefore paturus min ha-maisros, since it's patur mishum gezel, so it means it's hefker, therefore it's patur from maisros. We darshan by maisros uba levi kein lo chelek v'nachala imach, that the levi gets his maiser because he's otherwise ein lo chelek v'nachala, but something that is yesh lo chelek v'nach limach, such as hefker, where it's open to him as much as it is to anybody else, then there's not going to be a chiyuv of maestro. So the Gemara brings three stories that relate to this topic. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, iklolo asra. Story number one is that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda both went to a particular location, v'zman shuk b'lu rov ha-mikzos, at this time of the season. So Rabbi kava achil, Rabbi started eating from the te'enim that were still remaining in the fields, because it's hefker. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda lo achil, but Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would not eat from the te'enim that were still in the field. So the Tiferes Tzion explains that Rabbi would dafke eat it because he wanted to be melami to the talmidim that there is such a halacha that it's pata from maestros and that it's hefker and that you're allowed to eat it. But once Rabbi was dafke eating it, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda didn't need to teach the halacha, and therefore he was mimidus chasidus. He refrained from eating it because the halacha was already being taught by the fact that Rebbe was eating it. So Asa Maron, the owner of the field where the Te'enim were, came, Amar Lehu, Amai Lo Achli Rabbanan. He said, why are the Rabbanan not eating? Meaning he noticed that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda wasn't eating. So he said, why are the Rabbanan not eating? It's a little bit strange. So why are the Rabbanan not eating? In plural, it should be, why is the Rabbi not eating? The just singular, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rashash writes, he must have not seen that Rebbe was eating. He saw that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda was not eating, and he must have figured the two of them were together, that Rebbe was not eating either. The Tiferes Tzion, he says differently. He says, no, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda must have come with the Shamash. We don't mention the Shamash because he was not a chash of a person in the story, but there must have been someone else with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda as well. So anyway, so the fellow on the field said, why aren't you eating? So Hukul Ravam Tzosu. After all, we're at the point in the season where the Peros Taka become Hefker. V'afal Pikein lo achal Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And even after that invitation from the Bala Sada, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda still would not eat from it, because Kasavar Mishum Sanyus Milsu the Comrade in Gavra. He thought that the person was saying this with a certain sense of cynicism. What the fellow was saying was that you rabbis said that all this stuff is hefker just so that you can eat whatever you want, so why aren't you taking advantage of the law that you made just so that you could benefit and just so you could eat whatever you want? So he wanted to make it clear that they didn't say this idea that it becomes hefker just so that they could eat the peiros. They thought that that's generally the sense that people make it hefker, but he wasn't going to personally benefit from it at all. So that is story number one. Story number two, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Ikla Lahu Asra. Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina went to a particular place, Bizman Shuk Bulu Rova Mixos, again at this point in the season where all of the Te'enim were going to become hefker. Savaka Achil, he ate from the Te'enim that were left in the field, and Yav Lishame Lo Velo Achil, and he gave some to his Shamish, and the Shamish wouldn't eat it. So Rabbi Chama said to his Shamish, Echol, you should eat it. You don't have to worry about anything. I have a tradition from Yerushalmi Rabbi Yossi in the name of his father, in the name of Rabbi Yossi himself, that that at this point in the season, it's already Mutar Mishum Gezel, it's already Potter from Meiser. So the understanding is that we had said before that the reason Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda didn't eat in the first story is because it was a Midas Chasidus that he was observing, and it was okay for him to have such a Midas Chasidus because Rebbe was already Melamed the Halacha. So if that's the case, asks the Tiferes Tzion, if I'm correct that there is such a thing that it's a Midas Chasidus not to eat, so what does Rabbi Chama want from his Shamish? The guy is keeping a Midas Chasidus. Why do you insist that he goes and eats? He's not eating, he's observing a Midas Chasidus. Why would you push him not to keep a Midas Chasidus? So Tiferes Tzion explains, because he understood that the Shamish was not doing it mitam Midas Chasidus, because he knew the Shamish wouldn't observe a Midas Chasidus when his Rebbe standing right in front of him is not observing that Midas Chasidus. Shamish must have thought that it was Asr Min Hadin. So if your Rebbe is doing something that's Asr Min Hadin, it does not give you license to violate that which is Asr Min Hadin. But if your Rebbe is not observing a Midas Chasidus, it's a chutzpah to go observe that Midas Chasidus in front of the Rebbe. I remember Shechta told us, if you're ever in a shul where if you have a minhag that you stand, you try to be makbid to stand for the entirety of Kriyas HaTorah, and you're in a shul and the rabbi doesn't stand for the Kriyas HaTorah, so you should sit, you shouldn't observe a Midas Chasidus in front of someone who's in a position of authority or whatever. So that's it. So Rabbi Chama understood that there's no way the Shamish was observing a Midas Chasidus in front of him. It must be that he was Choshesh Mikra Adin, and that's why he told him that you have nothing to worry about. And now the third and most famous of the three stories. Rabbi Tarfon Ashkehu Gavra Bizman Shuk Bulam Tzos Tukachil. Rabbi Tarfon was found by a certain guy while he was eating te'enim that were left in the field after the point of time where they're assumed to be hefker. Sa'achte Besaka. The guy grabbed Rabbi Tarfon, threw him in a bag, v'shakli v'amti l'mishti benara. And he slept him down to the river and he was going to throw him in the river. He was going to drown him in the river. So Amar Los, Rabbi Tarfon said, Oy lo l'tarfon shezah horgo. Woe to Tarfon that this is my end. This guy is going to be the one to kill me. Shamahu Gavra, the guy heard him say, wait, who are you? Tarfon? He heard him say that it's Rabbi Tarfon. So Shafke Va'arak, so right away he let him alone and he ran away. He couldn't believe that it was Rabbi Tarfon that he had taken. What's this Lashon Shezeh Horgo, that this guy is going to be the one to kill him? So Ben Yoyada writes, Rabbi Tarfon was upset about the fact that a Hedyot was going to kill him and that he wasn't Zocha to be among the Asara Aruge Malchus. At least if he's going to die, let it be with the Kiddush Shemayim, let it be with something that's significant. The Marsha says he didn't say Tarfon ani al taharguni. I am Rabbi Tarfon. Don't kill me. He said oilo le Tarfon because he was upset that he was being killed bidei Adam. So it turns out that the horeg is going to be ne'enash al yado, because the Gemara in Shabbos says kol shechaver ne'enash al yado ein machnis nasa b'mechitzas shel kadosh baruch hu. Meaning, because of Rabbi Tarfon's presence, this guy is committing a crime, and since this guy is committing a crime, he's going to be punished. And the Gemara in Shabbos says anytime someone else is punished on account of you, you don't get allowed into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he says, Oilo Latarfon, woe unto Tarfon, I'm not going to be allowed into Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shezeh Horgo, because this guy is going to be Nana Shal Yadi, because this guy is going to be punished as a result of what he did to me. So anyway, but the fellow heard that it was Rabbi Tarfon, so he left him alone. So I'm Rabbi Yavon, Mishum Chanani ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yavon said in the name of Chanani ben Gamliel, Kol Yom of Shalos HaTzadik, HaYimitztair El Davarze, that throughout the rest of Rabbi Tarfon's life, he was always upset about this incident. Amar Oili Shenishtamashti B'Kisra Shal Torah, that he thought that it was inappropriate that he used the fact that he learned Torah as a way to save himself. That he should not have used the Torah as a way to personally benefit in his own life. Now, it was Pikuach Nefesh, the Gemara is going to discuss what were his other options. But that was he was very upset that he had to use the Kisra Shel Torah. This is one of the stories that the Rambam quotes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos, when the Rambam has that long piece about how a person is not allowed to take money to learn Torah, and a person can't tell other people to support him so that he could learn Torah. And this was never the derech of the Tanayim and the Amorayim. They worked hard in order to make a living, and then they were Moser Nefesh to learn Torah. They had no expectations of other people giving them anything. And Adrabah, they would never use their Torah to benefit at all. Even Rabbi Tarfon, to save his own life, was so upset that he used the Kisra Shel Torah. So of the many sources in Chazal that the Rambam brings, this is one of them. If someone utilizes the Kesser Torah, he's going to be grabbed or uprooted from this world. He's going to die in Misa Mishuna. How do I know that? Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Mar Bal Shatzar Shenishtamish B'lkei Kodesh. That the Bal Shatzar used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenasu Klei Chol. And as soon as he used them, he violated Me'ilah, so they become Klei Chol. The story of Bal Shatzar is in Sefer Daniel, in the fifth part of Sefer Daniel, that he was a Melech Bavel. He made a big party on the day that he overpowered the Malchei Paras. And at the time of the party, he took out the Klei HaMikdash that were taken by Nebuchadnezzar, by his father Nebuchadnezzar, and he used them and he drank from them. So a hand appeared out of nowhere and wrote something on the wall that he didn't understand. So he was shaken and his knees were shaking. He didn't know what was going on, and a hand came and wrote something on the wall. That's where the expression comes from, handwriting on the wall, right? So because there was just handwriting that came on the wall, and none of his chacham were able to interpret what happened until they brought Daniel, and Daniel told them that since you didn't humble yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you were using the Klei HaKodesh or the Beis HaMikdash for yourself, so the Malchus is going to be taken away from you, it's going to be given back to the Malchus Madei and Paras, and you're going to lose everything. And that night, Balshazzar was killed, and the Malchus went to Daryavish to the Melech Paras. So that was it. It was over for Balshazzar. But so because of that, meaning that the Kal V'chomer is, he used Klei Kodesh, and they became Klei Chol. Shneamar, and here's a great Tavyom coincidence for Zos Chanukah, Uvo, Bapritzim V'chiluluha, that the Pritzim came, and they were Mechalel. So you see that they have the ability, when they use the Kelim, to be Mechalel the Kelim. So Kim Shepirtzim Nasu Chol, that you see, V'chiluluha means that they don't remain in their Kedusha, and Nerkam in Olam. Because of that, Balshazzar was Nekram in Olam. D'chsiv Babalele Katal Balshazzar. That very night he was killed. So Mishtamish B'Kisra Shel Torah, someone who utilizes the Kesser Torah, Shuchai V'Kayim Liolam, that never becomes Chol. It retains its Kedusha forever. More so than the Klei HaMikdash. Alachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so that such a person is going to be Nekram in Olam. The Yun Yaakov explains that the Dafka says Kesser Torah, which is Kayim Liolam, because Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen, so he had two ksarim. He also had the Kesser Kuhuna. But Kesser Kuhuna is not necessarily Kayim Liolam. You're able to be Mechalel the Kesser Kuhuna. Kohen marries a Grusha, and then his son is not going to be a Kohen. His son is going to be a Chalel. So there's a way to be Mechalel the Kesser Kuhuna. The Kesser Torah, you can never be Mechalel. So that's why it's Chai V'Kayim Liolam. So Alach is Kama V'Kama. A person is going to be Nekar Min HaOlam for utilizing the Kesser Torah. So the Gemara goes back to the story with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, Kim Duchi Achil, since he was eating at a time where it was already, everything was already hefker, what did the guy want from him? Everything was hefker already. Why was the guy schlepping him in a bag and throwing him in the river? So it says, no, because there's a backstory that Rabbi Tarfon apparently was not even aware of. Mishum dahu have a ganvi le anvi kula shata. He was the victim of a lot of theft. People were stealing his grapes all year long, way before anything was hefker. The kimen dashka the Rabbi Tarfon, and he saw Rabbi Tarfon eating his figs. Savar haynu de ganvan. He figured that must be the ganav that's been stealing his grapes all year long. So yachi, if that's the case, that the Baal HaSadda assumed that he was stealing everything all year long, a maitzir nafshe. Why was Rabbi Tarfon so upset that he used the kisra shel Torah to save himself? He had no other option. You know, I understand very well if the person was just bothered by the fact that he was eating the figs. So instead of using the kisra shel Torah, he should have just said, "I'll pay for them," and he should have paid for the figs. But if the guy was interested in getting paid back for all the grapes of all the whole year, so that's not Rabbi Tarfon Zachariah's to pay for all of that. So he had no choice but to use the kisra shel Torah. So it says, "Mar mishum Rabbi Tarfon asher gadol hava vavle lefaisu bedanin." He should have paid for them. He should have paid for all the grapes because he was a very wealthy person. He could afford it, and it's worth it. It's worth spending an exorbitant sum of money if you can afford it, rather than being mishtamesh b'kisra shel Torah. So Tanya, we have a brisa that supports this idea that a person is not supposed to utilize Torah for his own benefit. It sounds like you're supposed to do things from avas Hashem, not from ava of oneself. So the Tanakh explains that it's all referring to limud HaTorah. A person should not say, "Oh, I'll learn Mikra, I'll learn Torah, so that people will call me a chacham, and then the people will give me kavod. Eshna, I'll learn Mishnayis, I'll learn Torah Shbal Peh, sheyikruuni Rabbi, so that people will call me Rabbi, and they'll give me all sorts of gifts or whatever. Ashanin, I'll teach Torah to other people, Shayazakin, they should be yeshiva, so I can expand my influence. They'll appoint me a Rosh Yeshiva, I have so many Talmidim. El Lamon Ma'ava, a person should learn only for Avas Hashem, Vesofa Kavod Lavo, and then in the end, the Kavod will come. Shanamar, because the Pasuk says, Kashri Malas Posecha, you should tie the Divrei Torah onto your fingers, that you should hold on to them. Kosva Maluach Libecha, you should write them on the Luach of your heart, that should be your heart should be the parchment of the Torah Shebal Peh, that you should be fully connected to the Torah. Va'omer, Tracha Darchei Noam, and its ways are pleasant. Va'omer Eitzchayim in the Machazikim Bav, Somchem Ushar will be in Eitzchayim. Those who support it are going to benefit greatly. So the Torah itself has its own, it will make a lasting impact, but a person's kavana should be just to connect to the Torah, to learn Torah l'shma, not to learn Torah for the sake of any kavod. It's almost a little bit disappointing though, no? It says, don't learn Sheyikruni Chacham, don't learn Mishnayis Sheyikruni Rabbi, don't teach Torah Sheyazakin Veshev Yeshiva, just learn Me'ava. I would have stopped it right there, right? And then it says, oh, and Vesofa Kavod Lavo, but don't worry, you're going to get the kavod in the end. Doesn't that ruin the whole thing if you have this promise that you're going to get the kavod in the end anyway? So in the Etz Yosef, he says there are two types of kavod. There's kavod that the Olam is Mechabed a person, and there's kavod that's not a kavod for people, it's just that he's Mechubad, that a person in his own is a person of dignity. So someone who's always looking to elevate himself and to raise his own level of ruchnius, that's the proper kind of kavod. He's elevating his own dignity, and that's the kavod that's promised. Sofa kavod lavo for someone who's osik b'toru l'shma. There is no promise that a person who's osik b'toru l'shma that people are going to be mechabed him, that people are going to be throwing gifts at him, that people are going to stand up for him. But the sense of his own self worth, the sense of his own dignity, the sense of his own connectedness to the Ribbono Shalom, that's the kind of kavod that sof hakavod lavo. So the Baisa tells us, "Vayter Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadik Omer, Asay Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam." Person should do things L'Shem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told you, so you do things for Him. V'daber Behem L'Shmam, and everything, all the different Torah that you speak should be L'Shem Torah, just to understand the Torah and not to use it as any sort of tool to weaponize it against other people or anything of that nature. Use it just to understand the Torah as best you can. Al Tase Matara L'Skadol Behem. Don't use the Torah as a keser, as an atara, a crown for your head. It shouldn't be the purpose of your limud Torah, should not be to receive kavod. V'al tasim kardom lios oderbo. And it shouldn't be a tool through which you get parnasa, as if it's just a way through which you can make some money. V'kal v'chomer. And again, we say the kal v'chomer. Mar bal shetzar shalom shtamish, v'bel klei kodesh, nasu klei chol, nekar min ha'olam. if Baal Shem Tov was using Klei Kodesh, that anyway, as soon as he used them, they turned into Klei Chol, and yet he was Nekram in Olam, Havashayvish Bekisra Shel Torah, Alachas Kamav Kama, someone is Mishtaymish Bekisra Shel Torah, all the more so that he's going to be Nekram in Olam. However, despite that, says the Gemara, there is a time that a Talmud Chacham can let people know that he's a Talmud Chacham. Amar Rava, Shari Le'linish Le'duy Nafshe Ba'asra De'lo Yadilei. A person can let himself be known, let it be known that he's a Talmud Chacham in a place where they don't recognize him, so that they will not be mezalzel in his kavod, and then ultimately they will be punished on account of the fact that they are being mezalzel in his kavod. That's how the Rush explains over here. That's why he has to let it be known, because otherwise people are going to treat him with disrespect, and as a result of that, they're going to get punished for treating the Talmud Chacham with disrespect. So he should let it be known who he is. The famous story of the Chavetz Chaim on the train, right, where he spoke, ill of himself, and the guy was mevazeh him. So the Chavetz Chaim supposedly said at the end of that story that now I learned I shouldn't have spoken ill of myself. So that's what they point out, that probably that story is not true, because of course he knew that already. It's not shaykh that he would have thought up until then that you're allowed to speak badly about oneself. So anyway, the Rav Yosef Engel in the Gilyon HaYashas points out, but if that's the svara, if the Rush is correct, then it's because people are going to be nanash for treating him disrespectfully. So it's not just mutar lehodia, it's chiyav lehodia. He should have an obligation to be modia. And he points out that in Tshuvas HaRashmi he says exactly that they can't be mevater on the basic level of decency and kavod, which by not letting it be known, they might end up causing other people trouble. The pasuk says, Ovadia says to Eliyahu, Va'avdecha yireyas Hashem minu urav. Ovadia says to Eliyahu, the Navi Ovadia says to Eliyahu, that I've been a yirei Hashem since my youth. So you see, he was telling that to Eliyahu so that he shouldn't be disrespected. What was the story? In what context was Ovadia telling Eliyahu that I'm a yirei Hashem? So this is from Sefer Melachim Aleph. Ovadia appears also in Sefer Ovadia. There's a book called Ovadia. We just had it at the Haftarah. It's one chapter. So we learned the entire Sefer Ovadia one Shabbos, only if you paid attention to the Haftarah. If you didn't pay attention to the Haftarah, then you didn't learn Ovadia. But the Sefer Ovadia, there's a funny Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says that it's not Shaykh, that it's the same Ovadia, the Melachim Aleph and the Navi, because Melachim Aleph, he says, I'm a Yirei Elokim. If he was a Navi, he buried the lead. He should have said, I'm a Navi, right? Why is he only saying that he's Yirei Elokim? I don't know why it didn't occur to the Ibn Ezra that maybe he later became a Navi, Pashtus is that it's the same Ovadia. But the story was that in the days of Achav, so everyone was being Ovid Avodah Zarah, and Eliyahu HaNavi was Misnavi that the rain is going to stop and there's going to be a famine, and Achav was looking for Eliyahu all over the place, and Eliyahu was in hiding. And then in the third year, Hashem came to Eliyahu and said, "Lech harei al Achav v'et namata al pnei adama. Go, make yourself go to Achav. You should now appear to him, and then I'm going to give some rain." And Eliyahu goes and he finds Ovadia, who was the Mamuna al Beis HaMelech. He was a person in position of authority, and Ovadia was a tremendous Yirei Shemayim. So Eliyahu says, "Go tell Achav that hinei Eliyahu, that Eliyahu is here." So Ovadia says, "Machatasi, what did I do wrong to you that you're giving me such a shlichus that I'm going to go tell Achav that Eliyahu is here? And then what's going to happen? I'm going to go tell him that you're here, and then you're going to run away, and you're not going to be here, and then I'm going to get killed." He said, "I really didn't do that. I'm a Yirei Hashem, mina Urai. I've been a good boy my whole life." So Achav says, "I'm a Yirei Hashem," because he didn't want Eliyahu to mistreat him, to put him in this terrible position. So he said, "I promise, I'm a Yirei Hashem." So says Mar Elokasha to Rabbi Tarfon. So, but wait, if you're allowed to tell people that you're a Talmud Chacham, that you're Yirei Hashem, so why was Rabbi Tarfon so upset about the fact that he let himself be known? So that he wouldn't be mistreated. You're allowed to let yourself be known so you don't get mistreated. So the Asher Gadol Hayavav Leil Faisa Bidamin. No, exactly what we said before, he was a very wealthy person. There was another way. There was another way to avoid that mistreatment, and that's by paying, and he should have paid his way out of it. So Rava asked the following stira. Once we mentioned that Ovadia says to Eliyahu that he's a Yirei Hashem, Va'avducha Yireyas Hashem Minu Urav. So there's a stira. On the one hand, Ovadia says to Eliyahu that I've been Yirei Hashem my whole life. Uksiv, but the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Ya'alel chazar v'lo picha. Let someone else praise you. You shouldn't be the one to praise yourself. So why is Ovadia the one to praise himself? So says Gemara, there's a difference. Haba asud yadilei, haba asud lo yadilei. When you're not allowed to praise yourself, that's talking about where people already know you. And no one seems to think too highly of you. So you don't go around saying, well, you guys are all wrong. I'm really great. But if they simply just don't know who you are, so then you're allowed to introduce yourself and say who you are. Amar Rava, Shari Leil Tzumer Rabbanan Lameimar. Rava tells us that Tzumer Rabbanan is allowed to say Tzumer Rabbanan, Shari Leil Tzumer Bereisha, that I'm a Tzumer Rabbanan, so allow me to go before other people for my Din Torah, so that I shouldn't be Batel Mili Mudai. There's a tshuva in the Shraga Meir, one of the contemporary tshuva svarim, where a kolel guy says, can I just cut lines in stores because, you know, I'm a Tzumer Rabbanan, so like I'm supposed to go first. That's the Din. And I'm supposed to go first. So he discusses whether this idea that they face a din, when two people come to a din Torah, Talmud Chacham goes first, is only if they both come at the same time. But if one came earlier, so then obviously the one who comes earlier goes first. But there's a natural kedima to the one who's actually kadim. But if everyone comes at the same time, so then the Talmud Chacham would go first. B'nei David Kohanim Hayu. It says that the B'nei David were Kohanim, which is obviously not true. They're from Shevet Yehuda. They're not Kohanim. So what the Pasuk is telling us is that since they were Talmidei Chachamim, they had a din like Kohanim. And the Tiferes Tzion points out that Dafka teaches us this in the context of the B'nai David to let us know their Chasidus, that even though they were B'nai Melech, they were not Makbid on their cover. They were only Makbid on the cover of the Torah. Meaning they could have said, we are royalty and that's why we go first. But it wasn't because of that. That alone, that they would not have been Makbid on. But it's the cover of the Torah. So Mak Kohen Notel Brosh, just like a Kohen comes before anybody else. Saf Talmud Chacham Notel Brosh. Talmud Chacham also could be Toveya that his Din Torah should come first. In the Mishnah at the end of Masechas Horios, it says that it's not just that a Talmud Chacham is like a Kohen, but Afilu Mamzer Talmud Chacham Kodem LeKohen Gadol Amaretz. So it sounds like Talmud Chacham even goes before, meaning if the two of them come, it sounds like Talmud Chacham would even go before a Kohen. The Kohen Minalan, but where do we know this Din by a Kohen in the first place, that a Kohen goes first? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'kidashto, ki eslachem elokecha hu makriv, that you have a mitzvah V'kidashto on Kohanim. V'tarim debay Rabbi Shmael, V'kidashto l'kol dover shebekedusha. Anything that matter that relates to Kavod and Kedusha, we should be makdim a Kohen. And that includes Liftoach Rishon, in Kriyas HaTorah, he should be the first one to be poseach, to read the first Aliyah. That's how the Ran says, not to be confused with Ran. That's how the Ran says, but the Rush says differently. The Rush says that it doesn't mean to get the first Aliyah. It means to be the first one to darshan. That whenever you have a list of speakers who are going to speak, so you put the first one to darshan should be the Kohen. They usually do the opposite, right? They usually put the keynote at the end. They want everyone to stay, so they put the lesser speakers first, but if it were considered a kavod to speak first, so then the first one to darshan should be liftoach rishon ulevarich rishon, the first person to lead birch samazon v'litol money yafa rishon, and the first person to take a money yafa that if there is splitting something between a yisrael and a kohen, they should split into two pieces, and the kohen should get the choice of which piece to take. He should get the first option of which item to take. So that's So that's how a person is allowed to say I'm a Talmud Chacham in order to get his kedima that he's entitled to. Now the Gemara is going to tell us two things that a Talmud Chacham could say in order to exempt himself from having to pay taxes. Amar Rav, Shari Leil Tzumer Rabbanan LeMeimar. Talmud Chacham is allowed to say that Lo Yehivna Karga, that I'm not going to give the taxes, I'm not going to pay taxes, and you can't be mechayiv him to pay taxes. And we learn this from the fact that Koresh Melech Paras was mitzavet to his avadim not to impose taxes on the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk in Ezra writes that Minda below Vahalach Lo Shalut L'Mirma Aleihun, that we don't have a right to be matil on these three things. V'am Rav Yehuda, what are these three things? They're different types of taxes that the Anshei Knesset HaGadola were potter from. Minda Zumanas HaMelech, that's a tax that's set up to take, that the king takes from the Karkaos. Below Zek Kesef Gulgalta, that's the tax on a head tax for each and every individual that belongs in the Medina, that lives in that Medina, that's a citizen of that Medina. They have to pay a head tax. V'halach zu arnona, and that's arnona. Arnona is the su'uda that the king, that when the king would travel around the country, so they would prepare su'udos in every city that he would go through. So since the Talmud Chacham is pater from these things, a person's allowed to say, I don't want to pay taxes, in order that they shouldn't take his money away from him, because he's authorized to not pay these taxes because he's a Talmud Chacham. The type of Talmud Chacham that's included over here in Mukhei Yosef points out is Dafka, if he's Tarasa Umnaso, if he's someone who learns all day, that's his entire livelihood, that he doesn't also work on the side. It's not a function of Torah knowledge only, it's a function of pure and complete dedication of all of his time to Talmud Torah. Va'amar Rav, Shari that Tzum Rabban the Meimar, Tzum Rabban is also allowed to say, and this one is even more surprising. By the way, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechet Basra says that the reason Talmidei Chacham don't have to pay certain taxes is because the taxes go to pay for protection. They go to pay for a police force and a wall around the city and things like that. But we assume, in a very literal sense, we assume that Talmud Chacham's Torah will protect him, that he doesn't need all the normal forms of protection. So it's considered that he's not benefiting from those services. If it's a tax that pays to pave the roads, or it's a tax that pays for garbage pickup, or other services that the government provides, that for sure Talmud Chacham has to pay for, because he benefits the same way everybody else benefits from that. But what that would which pays for the army and for the police and for everything else that provides protection for a person. So that's what a Talmud Chacham was exempt from. So anyway, V'amar Rava, so the more surprising shita of Rava is Sharele Tzumra Rabbanan the Meimar. Tzumra Rabbanan is allowed to say, Talmud Chacham is allowed to say, Avdu Dinura Ana, that I am an Eved to the Kohanim of Avodah Zarah, to the priests of Avodah Zarah that were Oved Eish, that would worship fire. And therefore, Lo Yehivna Karga, because I have a clergy exemption. Really? What kind of clergy are you? Yes, I'm a clergy in the worshippers of fire religion. And he's allowed to say that in order to get out of paying the taxes, because apparently worshippers of fire clergy were free from paying taxes. You don't have to worry about Hashem, that it looks like you're being oveid avodah zarah. So the Ran writes that the heter is that since he's saying eved ha'esh hineni, that I am an eved of esh, in his heart he should have in mind l'shem shemayim, that ki Hashem elokecha esh uchlohu, that he's really referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am an eved of esh, of that which is called an esh uchla of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says maybe Rava Dafka said it's Tzumra Rabbanan is allowed to say this to say a greater chiddush, that even a Talmud Chacham is allowed to say this and you don't have to worry about Chilul Hashem. But for sure other people who are allowed to say it, because it's obvious that they're only doing it to be exempt from the taxes. That's how the Ran writes. The Rush and other Rishonim say that no, it's not even a Tzumra Rabbanan. It's Dafka Tzumra Rabbanan could say it, because there's no chashash that it's going to cause that he's going to be any more mezalzel in Avodah Zarah. But if other people start saying that, yeah, I'm an Eved of this Avodah Zarah, of these Kohanim, of this Avodah Zarah, so we're more concerned that they're going to start to take on some of those practices, and they're going to start to veer toward those things. That's when a person has to be careful, that we try to stay as far away from anything related to Avodah Zarah as we possibly can. That's why this whole din is such a surprise. I get so many shilas this week. Can I go look at the lights? All these beautiful lights that are all over the place. Can I, take my children and go look at these? Is it mamish to Krovus of Avodah Zarah? No. Does it even have any religious significance in their religion? No. But we don't do that. You're gonna connect to something that people do in their service of the, or they perceive that they're doing it in the service of that religion, which is Avodah Zarah to us. Certainly, it's probably Avodah Zarah to them also, but it's certainly Avodah Zarah to us. So that's not appropriate. So my time. But anyway, so why are you allowed to do this? Why is a guy allowed to say that I'm an Eved to the Kohanim of Eish? So Lavruche Arya Minei Ka'amar. He's just saying to pater himself from the tax, and everyone knows it. It's just like a formality that you have to say it in order to get out of the taxes. Ravashi Avalehu Abba. Ravashi had a certain forest, Zabne the Benura, and he sold it to the Beis Ha'esh, meaning the Avodah Zarah, where the method of worship was to be was to light fires for it. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, how could you do that? There's Lufneiver on a guy also, right? So how could you sell the of the Avodah Zarah such a thing? The Achronim say, what's the Yisr? They could get the Eitzim from elsewhere. Lifnei Iver, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us only when the person has no access to the Avera any other way, when it's Treabri Denara. But this is Chalabri Denara. So that's what the Maritzchi is quotes from the Yad Malachi. Yeah, but as the Bali Atosos point out, there's still an Yisr Midrabanan of Mesayel Day over Avera, that even if they can get it from somewhere else, you're not supposed to be Mesayeya. Problem is, does Mesayeya apply to a Nachri? That's not so Pashut. That Lifnei Iver Daraisa applies to a Nachri. Mesayeya, according to the Shach, Shachem Dagum Vav doesn't even apply to Yisrael Mumar. It doesn't even apply to Yisrael who's not interested in Torah mitzvahs. Okay, so that's some question. But they ask, isn't it a violation of Neivar Lesit and Michshol? So I'm late. Rov Eitzim Lasaka Nitnu. Fascinating Chiddush in Lufnei Iver. He says they also need wood to heat their homes. It's freezing outside, right? So they need wood to make fires in their homes, to heat their homes. So they use it for non-Avodah Zarah purposes also. So do you know what they're using it for? No. It could be that they're using it for Avodah Zarah purposes, but that's good enough. The fact that they might be using it for non-Avodah Zarah purposes is apparently good enough, is enough of a heter to sell them something that they may very well actually use for Avodah Zarah, and that takes away the Lifnei Iver. So it seems like a Yesodah Sticka line over here right before the Mishnah. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Person takes a neder ad hakotir, until the harvest, or that means ad sheyaskala am liktzor ktsir chitin avlok ktsir sa'orin. That means ktsir chitin, the time of the beginning of the harvesting of wheat, not of the harvesting of sa'orin, because wheat is much more chashuv than barley, the Ran explains, and therefore it's ktsir chitin, not ktsir sa'orin. Tosel says that it's mashal from his lashon. He says hakotir, with the hey idea, hakotir amyucha, the particular ktsir that's most impactful, and that is ktsir chitim. And the Ritva says, no, it's pasha because sa'orim is Michael Behema. So if it's Michael Behema, so then obviously the harvest that he's referring to is chitim, right? We always have sa'orim as Michael Behema. That's why the carbon of the sota is with sa'orim, because maaseho is ma'isa Behema. So we do Michael the ma'achala is Michael Behema. Someone asked me on Shabbos, it's interesting that we have this concept of hidur mitzvah, that mitzvahs that are beloved to us, we're mahadir as much as we can. Do we ever have a concept of like the opposite, like a mitzvah that you dafka don't want to have to be doing, that it's a depressing mitzvah, that we dafka make it less mahudar? So he was saying, he was learning Mesachah Sota, and this occurred to him, that we dafka use Michael Behema because it's such a lowly thing. Interesting idea. So anyway, so you have Ktsir Chitin, not Ktsir Sa'orim. Hakalafi Makom Nidro, but it depends on when these mana Ktsir is in the place when he takes the neder. So therefore, Im Hayu Bahar, if he took the neder while he was in the mountain, and then he moved down to a bika, the Isser is Bahar. The Isser goes until there's mana Ktsir in the mountain. Im Hayu Babika, if he was in a bika at the time that he took the neder, even if he later moved up to a higher elevation, Babika, the Zman Katsir is based on the Zman Katsir in the bika. Ada Geshamim, if a person takes a neder until the Geshamim, Ad She Yehua Geshamim, or he says Ad She Yehua Geshamim, sentence Ad She Tered Revi Yeshniyah, it's until the second rain, which we'll define in tomorrow's daf exactly when that is. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ad She Yagiyah Zmana Shel Reviyah. It doesn't have to be the actual second rain, just the Zman of the Reviyah. The Ran points out over here that Ad She Yehu is not usher until the end of the rain, because it's how long it is not known. So it's Ein Zman HaKavua. We learned that any time that it's Ein Zman HaKavua, that even when you say Ad She Yehei, it's only Ad She Yagia. It's only until it starts. And that's why our Mishnah is assuming that way. Ad She Yivsiku Kisham. But if you say until the rain stops, so Ad She Yetze Nisan Kulo Divrei Meir. Meir says, then you have to wait until the entire month of Nisan is over, because the rain continues until the end of Nisan. Tiferes Tzion says, this is Rameh L'shitas, it's Choshish L'miyuta. There's very little rain at the end of Nisan, but it's Choshish L'miyuta. So that's Rameh L'shitas. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyavar HaPesach. That it's, just till Pesach is over, because that's when all the rain in Eretz Yisrael is really over. Tanya Hanoder Ad HaKayitz, a person takes another Ad HaKayitz, Begalil, V'yard La'amakim, and then he went down to the Amakim, Alf Bishagi HaKayitz, even though it's a kites already came in the Amakim where it's much hotter, but the nether is bound by the place that he took the nether, as our Mishnah said. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up from there at the two dots. Have a great day, everybody.